But this morning we'd like to draw your attention to the first 11 verses, where we read, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." It had been one of those nights, futile and fruitless. All night long, up and down the shores of Galilee, casting their nets, pulling them in, finding them empty. They had pulled out all their bags of tricks. They were familiar with these waters. They had chummed the waters. They had gone to the usual places, and no success. It's now morning, and all they have to show for the night's labor are weeds that are caught in the nets. And so as they were cleaning their nets, they saw a crowd coming along the shore. The crowds were pressing against a man, everyone trying to get close, everyone wanting to touch him. And so he steps into one of the ships, and he calls the owner, Simon, and he said, "Cast out from the shore just a little bit." In order to escape the crowd, he sat there just slightly offshore, letting the water separate him from the pressing crowd. And he began to teach the people the things of God. Simon no doubt listened with intense interest as he heard this man give words of hope, words of meaning, words of comfort, words of a God who loved man and was concerned for man's salvation. He has finished his lesson. The people are enthralled with the truths that they have heard. And now he turns to Simon and he said, "Now, move out a little bit into the deeper water and let out your net for a draught of fish." We notice that Peter's response to the Lord was sort of polite and accommodating. It was as if Peter said, "Now, you know, you're a good teacher. I really enjoyed the things that you taught us about God. That was fascinating. You're a good teacher, but I'm a fisherman. And you may know things about God and teaching, but I know about fish. And this isn't really the time of day where you catch fish. We fished all night and we caught nothing. It was a futile, fruitless night. And I know the habits of fish, and this isn't the time of day to do any fishing. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. I mean, you said, he was just sort of accommodating, being polite. He admitted his own failures. I fished all night, I've caught nothing. Have you ever had one of those days where everything seemed to go wrong? Nothing worked out? At the end of the day, you look back on the day and you wonder, what in the world did I accomplish today? It looks like nothing has come of the day's efforts. You feel sort of frustrated. In fact, you wonder why you ever got out of bed in the morning. I mean, a wasted day. All night and caught nothing. That's the kind of night Peter had. And now this teacher, who has probably never thrown a net in his life, is trying to tell me how to fish. But even though Peter mildly objected, he did obey the command. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It was obedience of faith, blind faith. I'm going to do it because you said to do it, but not because my mind tells me it's a wise thing to do. My mind tells me it's worthless. It's just another vain effort. That's what my mind tells me. There are no fish around today. But yet at your word. And so it was an obedience in faith against intelligence. He looked upon the command of Jesus as rather foolish in his estimation, and yet to accommodate, he would do it. But the result of his obedience, and when they had done this, they immediately enclosed a great number of fish so that the net broke. Peter had never seen so many fish in a net in his entire life. And he was so excited, and of course, being a fisherman, I mean, this is a dream come true. He is so excited with the success that immediately he does not comprehend what's really going on. It hasn't yet sunk in. And so he whistles and calls for James and John, his partners, who are still on the shore with their little ship, and he says, come on out. And they came out and they began to cast their nets and fill their little ships with fish until they were so full they began to sink. And then suddenly Peter caught on. This man is no ordinary teacher. I believe that Peter at that moment got the first glimmer of light concerning the truth of Jesus. That glimmer of light that later burst forth in full revelation when in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus had said, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I believe the first glimmer of that came to Peter at this moment. This man is not just a man. There's something extraordinary about this person. And the beginning of the revelation that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, that revelation to his own heart by God began at this moment when he saw the fruit and the result of obedience, blind obedience to the command of Jesus. Peter's response was that he fell down before Jesus and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It's interesting that in coming to the recognition of who Jesus was, he came to the recognition of what he was. This is always true. You never truly see yourself until you see yourself in the light of Jesus and the recognition of who Jesus is. Man, when he has a true encounter with God, has a true encounter with himself. We live in a false ideal of ourselves. The Bible speaks about those who deceive themselves. And we often have a higher opinion of ourselves than is reality. And this is what the psychologists call the ego and the superego. The real you and the you that you imagine yourself to be, all things being equal. I'm not really as bad as I appear, but you see, it's the circumstances that make me look bad. It's the wife that I have. She's held me back from the success that I could have achieved. You know, it isn't me. It's the exterior influences and all that have kept me from being and so forth. And we have this false kind of view of ourselves. We have sort of an inflated sense of who we are. But when you see God and you see yourself in his light, things are different. We read in Isaiah that he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. His glory filled the temple. Then said I, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. He saw himself now in the light of God. Daniel, a very beautiful person, when he had a vision of Jesus in chapter 10, said, all of my beauty turned into corruption. Here is Peter in the recognition of who Jesus is falling on his knees saying, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Seeing Jesus, he sees himself. If you see a man that is proud and arrogant in his self-righteousness, you can put it down that this man has not met Jesus in truth. And there is more hope for a prostitute and a drunkard to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for him. It's not until you see the truth about yourself, a hopeless, helpless sinner, that you will then call unto God for his mercy and grace. Our problem is that we are usually looking at each other in the light of each other. And looking at myself in your light, I'm not too bad. There is some light in which I really don't look so bad. I get in a very dim bathroom and look in the mirror and 40-watt bulbs and looks pretty good, especially if I don't have my contacts on. But I'll tell you what, standing in the glare of the sun and looking in a mirror is devastating. I mean, that's bad news. You see, it all depends upon which light you're looking at yourself. And looking at yourself in the light of Jesus Christ, every flaw is suddenly exposed and revealed. You see now the truth. And with Simon, there comes that acknowledgement and recognition, I'm a sinful man. Jesus spoke of those people who did not want to come to the light. He said that he was the light. He came into the world, but they would not come to the light because they loved their darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. They didn't want to see themselves in the light of Jesus Christ. They loved dwelling in the darkness and not really facing up to the truth and the reality of what they were. And there are many people like that still today. Peter, fearful, with the acknowledgement of who Jesus really was, said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. But Jesus' answer to him was, fear not. From now on, you're going to catch men. As soon as Peter acknowledged his sin, the Lord was able to deal with it, was able to pardon him and to cleanse him and to call him to a higher vocation. No longer will you catch fish, Peter. From now on, you're going to catch men. I'm always amazed and blessed at the men that the Lord calls to catch men for the kingdom of God. They are not always the men that I would have chosen. They are not always the cultured and the elite, the fashionable and the brilliant, but they are quite often street fighters, brawlers, drug addicts, alcoholics. And we see in the book of Acts how that Peter is now fulfilling the calling of the Lord. In the second chapter of Acts, as Peter is preaching to the multitudes of people, some 3,000 people believe the message and are baptized as Peter draws in the net with 3,000 people accepting Jesus Christ. You get into the fourth chapter and you see the net being thrown out by Peter again, and some 5,000 men are brought in, and now the net full of men that Peter is drawing into the glorious kingdom of God. The commission of Jesus is being fulfilled. You're no longer going to catch fish, Peter. You're going to catch men. Think for a moment of the thousands of men who have spent their life around the Sea of Galilee, earning a living by catching fish. You can go today to the Sea of Galilee, and you can see men going out in their little dories, You can see them as they throw their nets out over the water, even much as did Peter. And you can see them occupied with fishing. And this has been true for hundreds of years. It's a beautiful body of water, abundant with fish, and thousands of men through the years have spent their entire lives, and their whole life is just going out daily, fishing, coming in in the morning, and selling their fish, and then next evening going out. I mean, their entire life is spent this way. They live and die just catching fish. And their lives don't amount to anything more than that. They just subsist. They never do anything that's of any note. They never achieve anything of worth or fame. And yet, four of those many men who spent their lives fishing on the Sea of Galilee, because they responded to the call of Jesus Christ to catch men, their names have become household words, household names, in millions of households all over the world through the years. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Four ordinary, plain, common fishermen. And yet, in obedience to the command of Jesus, their lives have impacted the world in which we live. Amazing. You can only account for their success through the one whose commands they obeyed. Peter recognized when he saw the multitude of fish that it wasn't his skill as a fisherman that brought that success. That it was obedience to the command of the Lord that brought the success. And so we will come to understand in our lives that our best efforts can lead to empty nets. But when directed by the Lord and when in obedience to Him, we follow His instructions, we have success beyond our highest dreams or fondest imaginations. And so this story teaches us that in using our own skills and knowledge and efforts, we can experience total failure. We can fish all night and catch nothing. In thinking of my own life, reflecting, I think of the years of ministry where I threw out nets and caught nothing. And then suddenly, as you're throwing out the nets and you can't really perceive that you're throwing them out any differently, you're throwing them out basically in the same area. The only difference is that suddenly the nets are full. So full that you have difficulty drawing them in. And you begin to realize there's only one reason for it. It's the Lord. And for some reason, he has purposed to fill the nets. What a vast difference when our ministry and when our lives become directed by the Spirit. We're no longer relying upon our own experience, our own abilities, our own understandings of human nature and all, but we're just obeying the command of the Lord. And there's success beyond our wildest dreams. The net result, pun intended, is that he gets the glory and the recognition for the success. You don't say, well, you see, I learned to sort of twist my wrist, you know, No. All you can say is that he is the master of the fish and the seas and the universe, and he has done what he has willed to do. To God be the glory, great things he has done. The story teaches us that faith acts upon the word of the Lord, which may even seem to be contrary to my own personal experience and understanding. At thy word I will do it. Now, Lord, I've fished all night. I didn't catch. But at thy word I will do it. So faith acts upon the word, the command of the Lord, even though it may seem to be in conflict with my own understanding and knowledge of the circumstances. At thy word, I will do it. Had Peter followed his own instincts, he would have gone home, gone to bed, and figured for a better day tomorrow. But at thy word, I will do it. The story teaches us that we need to see ourselves in the light of the Lord, the recognition of who he is, and in the light, that awesome light of him, to then see the truth about ourselves. If we just go around measuring ourselves with other people, we're going to get a false concept of ourselves. We may even get an exalted concept of ourselves, which is still a false concept, because you don't see the truth about yourself until you see yourself in the light of his holiness and his purity. That all-revealing light reveals who you really are and what you really are. And the truth is, I'm a sinful man and I need cleansing, I need forgiveness, and I need redemption. The story teaches us that God can use anyone in his service to catch men for him. Common people like fishermen, mechanics, grocery clerks, housewives. As Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." And the whole purpose is that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God uses just people like us. Plain, common, ordinary people to do an extraordinary work for him. To have success beyond our wildest dreams. All it takes is just simple obedience to the command of Jesus. What is Jesus saying to you today? You see how important that we listen for his directions, because our directions, our ideas, our abilities can bring in empty nets, but when we begin to have directed service, oh, what a difference it makes. The difference between failure and success. What's the Lord saying to you? It may not make sense to you. You see, he may be saying, now, today I want you to witness to your mother once more. You say, oh, Lord, she's so hard. I've witnessed her so many times since, oh, man, I don't know. She just, the last time, you know, was so upset, she told me never talk to her again about you, Lord. Lord, I've done it all night and I've caught nothing, you know. I mean, just. But this may be the time. What is the Lord directing you? It may be that he is directing you to do just what you have done without success. Doesn't make any sense to try that again. Been fishing all night, caught nothing. But if the Lord's directing you to let down the nets, let him down. See what he might want to do. I love that last verse of the text. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I suppose they just left all of those fish in the boat. Doesn't make any difference anymore. Following the Lord is the most important thing of all. And so with us today, following him, nothing more important than to just follow him. Father, we thank you for the lessons that we can learn from this story. The story of failure, and yet the story of unimaginable success. And Lord, you're the one that makes the difference. Thank you for the difference you have made in our lives, the changes that you have wrought, the things that you have done. Help us, Lord, to listen, to receive direction and guidance from you. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to whatever you might call us to do. In Jesus' name.